T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, the Lunchtime Falcons Report. Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network going to join us, as he always does, on Wednesdays at 12:20. We got 3 damn good dog questions coming up at 12:40 or so. Who knows how many there'll be. Brian Gebhardt in studio with us talking some Georgia football. But as we always do to kick off the noon hour, the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury auto repair.
Yeah, no stats look good right now, Hugh. I'll say this. here's how we get there and how we do it, you know, and you know this too. So let's make sure the hits and the hurries, that those are turning into sacks. And how do you do that? Man, a lot of coordination, making sure you're on the right level to rush. And so if you're running a pass rush game that goes right onto the contained space of it, how do we trap a quarterback in the pocket? So those are the things that we're going to work hard at practice.
Yeah, that'd be great. Dan Quinn talking about trying to get more pressure on the quarterback and turning them into sacks. None of the stats look good right now. Certainly not on defense. I don't know that there's the most forced fumbles,
yes,
in the NFL.
Yes, yes.
So
they're,
that's a good stat.
They're up there.
That's a good stat, but they haven't recovered very many of them. No sacks in the last 3 weeks. Almost no turnovers. Given up a whole bunch of points. Dan Quinn's right. The defensive numbers right now tell the story. And it's funny, people always say, you know, stats can lie. Stats can tell a different picture. Stats can sort of say anything you want them to say. I don't know that there's really much you can say positive about the Falcons' defensive stats right now. Like, you can't spin them in any direction other than negative because they're bad.
I don't know where –
bad stats.
Like I said, is there anything – and you said this about the whole team, so I'll just go defensively. Is there anything optimistic about this defense right now? Grady's playing it lights out.
Yeah, Grady.
Grady's just playing lights out.
Yeah, Grady's playing well. Kendall Sheffield's going to probably start again.
Yeah.
That's about it. I don't know. I mean, it's sometimes fun to see how bad they mess up. Maybe that's mean, but like,
yeah, that's kind of mean.
Sometimes it's fun to see like where Isaiah Oliver will end up on a play. Wow, he really didn't know what he was supposed to do on that play, did he?
The young buck having a hard time.
He was really confused.
He's really having a hard time, man. The communication is key. And I mean, I look at things like, damn, how much is that loss of Keanu Neal? Well, we knew the loss of Keanu Neal was going to be big because you don't have that kind of talent at the position that you need for what he does.
Yeah.
But I mean, dog, I'm so sick of talking about the same thing over and over. 44, 98.
Yeah, it's those guys.
Yeah.
Keanu Neal's not helping them.
Yeah.
I mean, Vic Beasley, Attack McKinley can't get to the quarterback. There's not a whole lot else to say about it, except maybe they get replaced. Maybe you put somebody else in there a little bit more often. Maybe you put Adrian Claiborne in there more often. Maybe you put John Kaminsky in there. I mean, what's there to lose? Honestly, what are you going to lose? I mean, 0 sacks, it can't get any worse than that.
That's true.
Vic Beasley's done nothing. There was a game 2 weeks ago where he literally did not record a statistic. Not a tackle, not even a penalty. Like, at least do a penalty and get in the stat sheet.
He got a penalty.
Now, he made up for that last week by getting 2 penalties on one play. Vic Beasley had more penalties on that one play than he has sacks in the entire season.
Yeah.
That's not good. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. They can't get to the quarterback, man. Maybe Jared Goff will fall down and they'll touch him. Get one of your cheapy sacks. What do we call it? The Michael Strahan and Brett Favre sack.
Yeah, get you
But
one.
That was an agreed-upon thing. Like, Brett Favre rolled out and fell.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, okay.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Michael Strahan got that clean.
Yeah, okay.
Fair and square.
I don't care. Like, Michael Strahan got the other 21 and a half sacks on his own.
No, he ain't fall.
The last one at the end. Does he still have the record?
Yes.
JJ didn't break it?
No, JJ got, I think Justin got, was a half
Justin
a
Houston
sack.
Got
I think he was a half a sack short, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
That's right. Anyway, I don't care how you get it.
I just love how Warren Sapp gets so upset at it. That's the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, he's mad? Oh, because he broke his record?
No. You know, Warren and Stray don't get along.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah.
Whose record did he break? Was it Mark Gastineau?
Yes.
It was Mark Gastineau's record.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Sapp gets mad because Strahan has the record and he got it like that?
Yeah.
What's his problem with Strahan?
I don't know. They just don't like it. They got some issues. Warren got some issues with him.
Oh.
Warren got issues with everybody. That's just Big Sapp.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're a difficult matchup, you know, a lot like ours where there's, you know, wide receivers that are difficult to guard and defend, the tight end, running backs, the quarterback. So, you know, when they play in their three receiver sets, you know, like they do a lot, those are some of the matchups that you have to think about, you know, on the outside, Woods and Cooks and, you know, where you're going and how you're featuring those guys.
Yeah, Dan Quinn is right. This is one of the best trios of wide receivers that the Falcons are going to face this season.
And throw the tight end.
And they got a good tight end, too.
Higbee can play too.
Yeah, Higbee's not a bad tight end either. And if you have Todd Gurley on the field, he's the best guy they got.
Mm-hmm.
So he can catch the ball too. Yeah, this is a tough offense to go against, especially for a Falcons defense that has made mediocre offenses look really good. I don't know what you do, honestly. I don't know what they're going to be able to do against those three wide receivers where you're looking at box scores against the Cardinals and you got guys, you know. You got, who is Trent Sherfield? Max Williams?
Max can play.
Damir Bird?
Well, he's a good tight end in Minnesota.
Okay. I mean, you're giving up yards to guys like that. These Rams wide receivers are going to be tough.
They get busy. Like I said, Brandon Cooks is the deep threat down the field, has some of the great best ball skills on the deep ball in the league. Then you got, you know, who a savvy guy, great route runner underneath or after the catch of Robert Woods. And then you just got Cooper Kupp, who just breaks you off on the slide. Just breaks ankles. And then you got a tight end that can run a 4-4. Yeah. So, yeah, you're going to have some issues. But the thing about it is they want to set – they're not as good as him just dropping back, throwing the ball than they are with the play action. That's why I said eliminate play action, force him to sit back there and have to drop back. Then you got a chance against them. But if you let them play action pass, they're going to tear you apart.
Yeah, I mean – do they even need play action to tear the Falcons defense apart?
This dude had 74 yards passing in the NFL game.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't get hurt, didn't get knocked out. That's what he had. Come on, man.
The over-under in this game is 54.5. Falcons are 3-point underdogs at home. 54.5? I like the over on that one.
If
the Falcons are going to win, they're going to have to score 40 points.
Why wouldn't they?
They've given up a lot of points the last couple of weeks. It seems like a safe over, which probably means it's definitely going to be the under and the game's going to finish 13-9. But it feels like there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game on Sunday, which is how the Falcons are going
to
win. I mean,
they're going to have to win that way.
Matt Ryan going to have to open it up. He's going to have a similarly good game like he had last week. He's going to have to do a little bit more, which is crazy to say. He's the only player in NFL history to put up the type of stat line that he put up and lose a game. He's going to have to put up that same stat line this weekend if they're going to win.
So good.
Jason Garrett is a really, really top individual that happens to be coaching, and he wouldn't have been our coach for 10 years. Do I not think he has a lot of great qualities to go?
Man, I wish I had a boss that loved me like Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett.
But it's a personal love.
Yeah, he loves him.
He loves him. I mean, Jason grew up in his system as Troy's backup quarterback. So, yeah, he loves him. You don't want to have to fire him. He just don't give him a new contract. You know, it's the last year of his deal. And Jerry's not, I can't fire him, but I don't have to resign him. See what I'm saying?
Okay, so he doesn't have to feel as bad about it?
Yeah.
And maybe he gives him a different job. Maybe he gets to be like an analyst or something.
Oh, no.
And he can work for the radio network.
No, Jason got to go.
He can get a TV job.
If that happens, because I think Jason Garrett will be a coveted offensive coordinator.
Okay.
I think he would
be.
I can see him being an offensive coordinator somewhere.
I just don't understand why he's still there. Like, Jason Garrett's been on the hot seat for an entire decade, and they've underperformed a ton. If you're the coach of a team that's underperforming over and over and over again, it's your fault at some point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And that job right there. But one reason that Jerry has kept
bugs in this studio,
that he has
man.
Kept Red on. You kept Red.
The studio cleaned up.
He's kept Red around that long because Red is not one of those coaches who he has to worry about pushback from some of the decisions he makes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's going to do anything that Jerry Jones tells him.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to do whatever I tell you.
He's
to
a
do
yes
you.
Man.
Yeah. I guess.
Yes.
I guess.
I think that's like the dictionary definition of a yes man.
I guess.
Yeah. That's He is exactly that. And Jerry Jones wants that. Like, remember when he had guys that weren't and they would get into it even when they were winning Super Bowls? Jimmy Johnson butted heads all the time. Jimmy Johnson was great.
Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells, great. All those guys.
Yeah, so he got him somebody who's not going to do anything like
but
that.
But who was his yes man? Was Bear Switzer, yeah. But then he went and got, what was it, Campo?
Dave Campo. Man, there's been a lot of coaches. Not in the last 10 years, though. It's just been Jason Garrett. All right, let's give away $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
law. Law.
Law.
L-A-W. Law. You have until 12:59 to text LAW to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the word is law.
Until, you know, he's 100%, until he's ready to roll, we're not going to address it. I mean, he's done everything we've asked, and I'm trying to stay true to what I told him. I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on. And so until we have it confirmed with our doctors and stuff like that, you know, we're going to, you know, continue to do what we're doing.
It's not the foot.
It might be the foot, Randy. Ron Rivera talking about Cam Newton and whether or not it's fair to say that he's not the starter of the Panthers anymore. We still don't know how healthy he is, and he's when he's going to be healthy. It's a foot that he's dealing with. It's a shoulder that he's dealing with.
Not the foot.
And now it's a quarterback that's come in and gone 4-0 that he's dealing with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many wins you have to get in a row to where when Cam Newton gets healthy, he's just not the guy. But it doesn't seem like it's there yet.
No.
Like, it seems like if Cam Newton gets healthy in the next couple weeks, they'll give it a shot. Just to see what you got.
Yeah.
You got to see if Cam Newton is healthy.
You got to play him.
He's better than Kyle Allen.
He's better than Kyle Allen.
He's healthy. Yeah. I mean, the reason he's no good is because he's been hurt. Cam Newton was an MVP. People are very quick to forget
how good
Cam Newton is. Like, for whatever reason. Like, it really, people are so ready to jump and say, see, bad Cam Newton.
People start really forgetting how good they were before he got hit last year.
Yeah, they were 6-2.
They were 6-2 before he got Jack.
It was an MVP a couple of years ago. Now, granted, he's taking a physical toll. Like, he's taken an absolute beating. And we didn't know how long he was going to be able to play the way that he played. He's lasted longer than most because he's a big dude. And I don't know that he can play differently. That's the thing. Like, in order for Cam Newton to be effective, Cam Newton has to play like he always has.
Yes, he can't do that.
And he'll probably get hurt again. So, if he's fully healthy, you put him back there.
Yeah, I agree.
Allen is 5-0, 6-0, whatever. Here's the problem. You put him out there, he probably gets hurt again, and then Allen has to come back in.
Yeah. But they got a decision to make anyways on Cam, because Cam's coming in the last year of his contract, and what do you do with him? Because he's a bargain if you look at today's quarterback.
You know how much money they save if they get out from underneath him after this year?
18?
I think 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Like, Cam Newton's going to be available.
Yeah.
Would they trade Cam Newton?
Wow. If you're a team, would you trade for Cam Newton?
Yeah, that's a great question. What would you have to give up? Because you know that he's damaged.
Yeah.
He's injured a little bit. Can he get healthy? And if he's healthy, can he be back to what he was a couple of years ago? I don't know. That would be wild. That would be crazy. Almost unthinkable for a couple of years ago to even ask if they would trade Cam Newton. That would be a fun one to monitor. I know I saw someone throw that out there yesterday. I just hope he gets healthy. I like watching Cam Newton play football.
Right now, offensively, we've got an identity that we've got to create more explosive plays. We cannot turn the ball over. And if you don't turn the ball over, you're really not talking about a lot of things, because when you go back and watch the tape, there was a lot of successful runs in there, as many as there were that weren't. And like I said, we've never lost a game that we were efficient in the run game. It's hard to make our efficiency chart, and we made it.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart's not changing the identity of the offense at Georgia. Not yet, at least. Not in the middle of this season.
No.
Now, he might at some point go back to the drawing board and say, oh, Alabama's different. They do this now. Oh, look at LSU. They've got a kind of different offense.
That's an off-season change.
It was an off-season change. You don't change your entire philosophy midstream like this, especially when it's been as successful.
Yeah.
You lost a game. You lost a bad game to South Carolina.
It was a bad loss. It was a bad loss.
You don't change your identity yet. Maybe they do in the off-season. You go back out there this weekend against Kentucky and see if you can get right.
Let's do it.
Hopefully they do.
They're going to dig. Let's go, man. Let's stop messing around.
Okay, yeah. Don't talk to me about it. I'm not messing around. I'm worried about Oregon, okay? It's been a good week for me already. Marcus Mariota got benched. I think that's a good omen for the Washington-Oregon rivalry this weekend.
Dude, that's so personal.
It is. It's very personal. We'll come back and get to our lunchtime Falcons report. Dave Archer is going to join us from the Falcons Radio Network. So don't go anywhere. We'll talk to Arch right after this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, Brian Gebhardt steps in studio. takes a little break from playing fine music like this and comes in and asks us three damn good dog questions every day at 1240. But it's time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report. What a treat. Not only is Dave Archer joining us, as he always does at 1220 on Wednesdays, he's actually here. Like, how are you, Arch?
I saw him walk right across. I was like, hold on. Oh, he's here. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, I got some administrative stuff to do down here in the building, and every now and then they let me come down here. I'm not allowed in the building very often, but good to be with you guys. I know you guys are royalty here. It's good to be sitting in with you.
Did he do that?
By the way, I do think that you guys lost a little bit of credibility with me on the drive down here. When you start talking about men's thighs and acne on men's thighs, I think that... at some point, maybe some of your credibility went out the window there. I think you lost a few people on that one. You're going to really have to work hard to build them back this afternoon.
So. I'm never going to get people back from all the stuff that I've admitted. But sometimes, Dave, I don't know what happens. Like, it'll get to break, and I'll like, wake up. Like, wait a minute. Did that really just happen?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I black out during the segments and forget what it is that I'm talking about. I don't know what the hell my problem is. I apologize that you had to hear that.
It was funny.
Thank God. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it. All right. Time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report. And obviously, another week and another unfortunate conversation about a team that just can't seem to find a way to win a football game. What do you think the message is right now? If you're Dan Quinn, and he hasn't lost the team. So for anybody who's saying that, that's not true. Dan Quinn has not lost this football team.
Yeah.
But what's the message? How is he delivering his message?
The message just has to be head down and look at this week. I think if you get caught up in what's happened in the first 6 weeks of the season, then you're getting overwhelmed with what the hell's going on with us. I think that the biggest thing this team has to do is just keep its head down, go to work this week, get ready for a Ram team that's having its own problems. Mm-hmm. Making some significant changes with their personnel. We just talked about that, and Mike talked about it in the update there. So I think that's the only thing you can do. Unfortunately, I'd like to say that I've never had to be through this, but I've actually lived through this a few times.
Me and you both.
Where you have to maintain focus on what's right now, because if you look big picture, then it becomes a little bit daunting, and it maybe overwhelms you.
Dave, what has – because, I mean, the focus of all our show, everybody's show, has been on the defense pretty much. We've seen Matt Ryan in office. They've got it going a little bit the last two weeks. What positive has it been about this defense? Outside of the way Grady's playing, because he's playing lights out. Outside of Grady, what has been some positives about this defense?
Well, I think there's some moments in games that I look to. I look at the Indianapolis game where you got down, 20-7, and the defense got two or three consecutive stops in the second half and gave you an opportunity offensively to get back in it. The same thing happened in this game,
right,
where you got down 27-10. You gave up that opening drive in the second half, and you thought, wow, we're just not going to have enough time. We're not going to have time to get back in the game. And then all of a sudden the defense gets three consecutive stops, and you look up, and it's 27-27. Mm-hmm. You think, you know what? We're going to come back and win the game. And so you see moments when they can get it done. The area that really bothers me the most is their inability to get off the field on third down. I think if you go back and you really boil down the games and look at the games, there's really some pretty good stuff there, pressure in the quarterback. They're not getting him on the ground, but they're throwaways, forcing you into 2nd and 10, 3rd and 8. There were a number of those moments in the game this last weekend against Arizona, and then they don't get off the field. They drop a coverage, blow a coverage. All of a sudden, a guy's running free with the ball for a 20, 30-yard play. And so as much as we're looking at it in a big picture scenario, and the numbers look horrible, you can't do anything defensively, there is a little bit more there to it if you boil it down. So how can you find a way to win those moments? Because, Randy, you and I know today's NFL is about red zone moments and about third down moments.
Right.
And if you can win those moments, because you may be really crappy all the way down the field till you get to the red zone, if you can get a stop and force a field goal, that's a win, right?
Yeah.
And so those are the things that I look for and try to grasp onto. And in those two games, you saw it. And why can't you be more consistent doing that? That's the part that Quinn's banging his head against the wall about, is why are my guys so inconsistent with their play?
Dave Archer joining us in studio for the Lunchtime Falcons Report, talking some Falcons. And again, back to what you just mentioned, coming back from down 27-10, is not something that a team does that has given up on their coach.
Right.
You don't come back in games when you've quit. But I also don't know the difference between, like when I'm watching it with just my eyes, the difference between a team who's not playing well and a team that is not playing for their coach. Because a lot of people want to say that. Like, what would be something that you would actually see if a team had given up on their
coach? Well, you make a good point. Randy and I both have probably experienced this, both good and bad, in this scenario where I have seen it here with a couple of teams. The Bobby Petrino team, you could tell that the guys in the locker room despised him.
Right.
And really didn't like the staff either, save Mike Zimmer, who was the offensive coordinator. Didn't like Hugh Jackson. They did not want to be in that environment. You could sense some of that beginning to happen a little bit in the end of the Dan Reeves era, when Dan Reeves was dismissed with about three games to go, and we went in a different direction there. So I've experienced it from a broadcaster perspective. And then from a team perspective, I don't ever remember guys quitting on coaches, but you could see that it had gotten stale in the locker room, Randy.
Right.
You knew it just felt like, oh, here we're going to do the same thing again this week, and here you go. I've been around this team, and I don't sense that. I think Matt Bosher was in studio with Dukes and Bell yesterday. I think he echoed that as well. These guys love this guy, and I'm thinking, well, if you love the guy, you need to go play better
Correct.
For him, because the ire of maybe the city and everybody else is starting to point at him a little bit. That's what I look for, Andy, is do you see a staleness, or do you see a bunch of guys that are kind of, you know, space focus, where you're supposed to be looking at this and you're over here looking at this? I don't see that with this team.
Matt Ryan's been playing well. Outside of not turning the ball over, what has been the key for him?
I think that, you know, we saw with Matt when we changed coordinators. We went from Dirk and we went to Kyle. There was a stretch there where maybe they didn't blend. And if they blended some in 15, but 16 it really got going.
Right.
And then you get the shift, the gears. Kyle takes the job in San Francisco. Here comes Steve Sarkisian. And you saw a little bit of the same thing in that year when he first had him. And then it began to blend again last year, and they started getting it going again. I think this is a little bit of that in the fact that I think – but these guys know each other better. So now instead of it taking a season, it may have taken three or four games
right.
to click.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the emergence of Austin Hooper has been monstrous because it's become – a scenario where you got to pick your poison now if they're going to protect. And that's the one part of Atlanta's offense that tends to bog them down is their lack of protection from time to time. You know, obviously the run game's part of it, but protection. But who are you going to pick to cover? And with his emergence now in the middle of the field with Sanu, now all of a sudden you've got horizontally really a tough matchup across the board. I think that's helped as well.
Big news came down last night that the Rams made a trade to acquire Jalen Ramsey. Falcons are going to have a chance to see Jalen Ramsey in his first game this weekend as a member of the Rams. How does that change this game? How does that impact this game, this offensive game plan for the Falcons, if at all?
Well, I don't think it'll impact Atlanta's side of the ball, other than the fact that Ramsey, will he shadow Julio Jones? Is he ready to do something like that? This guy's been standing on the sideline.
Right.
He's been injured. At least that's his description of what he's been
saying.
That back feels good now, doesn't it? Getting ready to get paid by the Rams. I don't know how much money the Rams are going to have left with Aaron Donald's, all that kind of stuff. But that's neither here nor there. What it does do is you put a guy back on the field that hasn't been playing. So is there a degree of him getting back up to speed? And getting back up to speed against Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley is not the definition of me wanting to get back up to speed. Now, this guy's got some bravado to him. There's no question about that. Does that play into the Falcons' benefit as well? He wants to make a statement in this game. Do you jump a double move and get beat over the top? Are you going to play your technique properly? Are you going to try to make a splash and get beat? Those are some things that I think come into equations for the Rams, not necessarily the Falcons.
But the thing with the Rams in their defense, I mean, as great as Jalen is, if you can find a way to corral or put your hands on 99, you got a chance to do some things.
Now, they haven't been very good against the run. Right?
Yeah. Last year, too.
Yeah, another one of those deals where you look at the Rams and you think, wow, this is a loaded defense with Dante Fowler and all the guys and Aaron Donald and these guys up front. But they have struggled to stop the run game. They're more of a pass rush pass rush team. And we talked about this last week. That was a team kind of fashioned themselves as a pass rush team, and you got after them with the run game a little bit. And not great, but you got some mileage out of it, and that slows down a pass rush as well. I would anticipate them doing some of that too.
What does it look like if Todd Gurley doesn't go for the Rams this weekend? Obviously, he makes that offense a lot different. Can they function the way that they want to function without Todd Gurley?
Well, I think that's something they're going to have to figure out. Sean McVay has now been without him a lot,
yeah. You
know, including the Super Bowl. He just hasn't been a factor for him. And remember, in that Super Bowl game, and give New England a ton of credit, they didn't do much on offense in that game either.
Right.
So this has been a team that doesn't look like the team we saw halfway through last season offensively. So he's a big factor for him. There's no question about it. He's not just a runner. He's a pass receiver, too, as well. You know, he's really good out of the backfield catching the ball. He made a couple plays against Atlanta in the playoff game. But for the most part, Atlanta's done a pretty good job against him. Atlanta's done a pretty good job against this offense in the past. But that was in the past. This is a different animal we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, because I think that, when the people talk about the Rams, they always talk about, oh, 11 personnel, they like to throw it all around the yard. That's not their identity. They want to run the football out of that formation, play action pass off of that. And when I look at them offensively, and I go back to what the Falcons did against Arizona as far as the corners and everything. Now, True might be out again, so you might have those three young guys out there again. What was your impression of Sheffield last week? I thought he played pretty well.
I thought Kendall Sheffield played really nice. I thought he did a nice job of coming up. He's confident enough to come up and hug up in coverage, which I think you're going to need to do, because I think is a defensive philosophy, real quick, and I know you guys got to catch a break here, but the defensive philosophy, and I asked Q about this a little bit in the coaches show, and he kind of steered around a little bit, but are you going to have to change kind of your philosophy? Because they've had success in a couple games where they've decided to come with 5 and 6 man pressures and played man. Now, it makes you vulnerable to the big play, but it also has allowed them to speed up the process, the quarterback. This guy this weekend isn't going anywhere.
Right.
You've had three guys the last 3 weeks that can move around. This guy's not going anywhere. Goff's going to be standing right in the pocket, so you can go get him.
Just from a football fan standpoint, because you're a fan of the games just as much as an analyst, when you're getting ready to go to this game on Sunday and you're driving to the stadium or whatever it is, what are you thinking of that you're excited about to watch that the Falcons do? Just as a fan. Like, I can't wait to get to the stadium and see X.
Well, there's no question that the first thing that comes to mind is the offense and the skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. I think that I hold out optimism that at some point the defense, which has a lot of talent on it, Deion Jones and the different guys that are on that defense, you hope that they sometime, at some point, catch fire. But it's about the offense. Mm-hmm. It's about the Falcon offense. And this could be one of those games, one of those classic games, and you look up, it's 45-42, and hopefully Atlanta's sitting at 45.
It kind of feels like that, doesn't it? It kind of feels like Sunday might be one of those types of games. The over-under is 54.5, by the way,
okay,
if that's something that you're interested in. Dave, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
It's always great to be with you guys.
Great stuff, as always.
Appreciate it. Hey, tune in to 929 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane.
Woo!
We'll preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the dirty, dirty birds.
All right, Brian Gebhardt going to step in studio next. He's got, well, I think 4, and then there's like a paragraph after number 4.
I'm like, what are you talking
about,
So
maybe
about, Brian?
5 Why damn good dogs questions? There's a lot of questions about Georgia coming up next, okay? Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Millennial.
It's time for some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. 20 minutes away from what's trending. At 1:20, in studio, Jason Longshore. So both of our guests today, and Brian and Wendy, everybody who's joined us today, Randy, has been in studio.
Everybody likes us.
They want to come see us. They want to come say hi. And thanks again to Arch for hanging out in studio. If you missed the conversation, that will be available on the podcast or on 929thegame.com on the Andy and Randy page. But anyway, Jason Longshore going to be in studio, talk some Atlanta United as the playoff game this weekend. I know, we're worried about Miles. The U.S. national team's playing like garbage. Did you hear how Miles Robinson got hurt, by the way?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Running?
Yes.
After a game that he didn't play in?
Yes.
In the middle of the night?
Miles!
Why is he out there doing that anyway? Whatever, we'll get to that. Brian Gebhardt's waiting patiently to ask us a number of Georgia football questions. How many today? 4?
4.
Okay.
We might go somewhere else from football with the last one. On Monday, Kirby Smart was asked how he felt James Coley was doing as offensive coordinator this season. His answer, quote, "Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to Kentucky right now. That's the biggest concern we've got, and we're going to focus on that."
That's not an answer.
That's
if
not an answer.
Kirby were going to actually answer that question, what would he say if he was going to answer honestly?
"We all got to improve."
Like truth serum?
Yeah,
actual truth.
Truth serum about how he feels about James Coley? I don't think he's very happy with James Coley right now.
No.
It was a terrible, terrible offensive game that Georgia played against South Carolina. And the thing that would be most frustrating for me if I was Kirby was the limited ability to adapt.
Yeah.
Like, you have to figure out what is and isn't working in real time. Like, that's what makes great coaches. And change. Like, I'm not asking for anything crazy. Like, instead of running it up the middle every single time, maybe bounce it outside a time or two. Maybe throw a bubble screen. Get the ball in one of your playmakers' hands in space. And he didn't do that. He stuck with whatever the script was that he had for that game. He felt very, I guess, married to it and didn't want to change. And if I was Kirby, I'd be pretty mad about that.
I'm sure he's upset. I'm sure he chewed Coley.
I bet he did.
You know what? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we know what your philosophy is too, Coach. And maybe he's just trying to stick to it. No, you got to. In another thing, we were talking about the play call and everything. If you're running back, you can bounce the ball too.
You can.
You know what I'm saying? But
it's nice if the play is designed.
It's nice if the play is designed. And I like I said it before in our college football corner, don't get cute though. Don't come out this game like, oh, okay, I'll show you. Don't do that because that's not what you do.
Well, and that's what I wonder. I would love to have heard the conversations between Kirby and James Coley this week because I wonder if some of the reason why he was not adaptable is because he's worried about doing something that Kirby doesn't want him to do, like stepping too far outside the box.
Yeah.
Because you know Kirby has made it clear to him, this is what we do, this is our identity. I mean, that could
But Coley came here with him, so he helped build it with him, so he knows.
But that could almost be restricting, though, at times, too, right? Like, if it's very specifically told to you what your offense is supposed to look like for the most part, then you might be hesitant to do something, even if you think it might work. I don't know. I don't know how much autonomy he has and how much free reign he feels like he has to maybe break away from the game plan at times. And I mean, you have to have some, right? Like if you're the play caller, I think you should be allowed to call whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I don't know that he does. No. That's what I'm asking. I would love to have heard those conversations.
You hear Kirby a lot talking about the turnovers, and the turnover margin, of course, was a big reason they lost on Saturday. But is this team's offensive identity more about not screwing up or about making plays?
Not screwing up.
Which I hate.
Like, that's why I would say playing out to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing out to lose. Yeah, I mean, that's been him since he's gotten here.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing with the explosive plays is that they're not going to make themselves. You got to do it. And they've had opportunities at explosive plays of those plus 20 plays that just miss when they have opportunity because you don't get a lot of them. So when you do, so that kind of kills your average or whatever you want to call it, because you're only getting three attempts to do that. I'm talking about going downfield and you don't make it. That makes a coach that thinks like Kirby, like, okay, we're going to stop.
The other thing, too, is, like, if that's your philosophy, our offense is essentially going to almost game manage to not get in the way of what the defense can do. It's great if you have an elite defense. If you have Roquan Smith in the middle and you're having, what, I think they had 6 tackles for loss per game in 2017, great. They don't have an elite defense right now. They've got a good defense. And I know they're top 10, but I think a lot of that has to do with some of the teams that they played. You don't have a huge playmaking, game-changing defense right now. So I don't know that you can do that completely
they're
with the
better,
defense.
Because Nolan Smith, he's rounding. He's trying. I like that kid, boy. Whew. Like Nolan Smith a lot.
Based on what we've seen from Clemson and Bama the last few years, with these kind of more wide-open offenses, I mean, can teams still win a national championship the way that UGA's offense is designed right now? Is that still even doable?
I think so, because they almost did it 2 years ago, and they should have done it 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But that's a great question, and that's sort of what I was getting at the last couple of days when we're talking about, man, if LSU has gone this way, is everybody just going to go this way eventually? Because LSU is the one who you never thought would change their philosophy. They would always be a smash-mouth defense and 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And now they're scoring 55 points a game and giving up 25 points a game because they flipped the script. Like, I still think you can, Brian, but if you're going to have the type of offense that Georgia runs, you just have to have the best defense in the country. Like, you have to have such a great defense, and Georgia has a good defense.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll be great next year, the year after, I hope. But they're good right now, but I don't know that they're that type. I don't know that they're great.
Injuries piling up for this team. Lawrence Cager, Tyson Campbell, Justin Schaefer, Solomon Kinley. Those are just to name a few, some of the main players that are out. Who does this team need most to be back on the field, whether this week or really for the Florida game coming up?
Cager.
Cager's your guy?
Yeah.
I'd really like to have Tyson Campbell back.
Ah, yeah.
I'd really like to have some coverage on that back. And again, the defense was pretty good. They just gave up one deep pass for the touchdown against South Carolina. But that's against South Carolina. I mean, we talked about it last week. Helinski's a good quarterback. He's young. You're going to play some better quarterbacks in the back half of your schedule. Kyle Trask is one of them. So, like, I would love to have a little bit more veteran presence in my secondary right now. And that would be my guy. But, I mean, Paul McKinley would be nice, too.
Last question for you guys. Just got a minute left. There's an article in Dog Nation about who needs to be the breakout players for the Georgia in the second half of the season. If you had to pick one name, who would be that name for you guys that needs to take their game to the next level? Maybe a younger guy that needs to step up?
Oh, without a doubt, Nolan Smith.
Yeah. Get in the backfield, cause havoc, Havoc is the word that they like to use, right? That's Kirby Smart's word. Get back there and create some turnovers, man. Like, that's to me the difference between where they are right now, where they're a good defense.
Yeah.
You got to have that one or two guys who's going to be able to get in the backfield and just break up and ruin a play. Like what you talk about with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Like, be a play wrecker.
Be a play wrecker.
And that's what I think Nolan Smith can be that. So hopefully he'll show us that in the second half of the season.
Dude, Brian Baldy, we love having Baldy on Friday, but he'd be depressing me sometimes with these breakdowns that he show. And it's always with the Falcons doing something wrong.
What
he
posts now? Is it Isaiah Oliver again?
It's bad. It's pretty bad. But you know what's not going to be bad is our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. That is going to be next Wednesday. That's a week from today at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Spring. And it is benefiting the Travis Mangan Foundation. Great, great, great cause there. You're gonna get a chance to bowl with one of us. We're going to have about 20 lanes. And we would prefer you to go to the events page at 929thegame.com for your tickets. But you can still have a chance when you get there to be able to register. You get 1,000 grand prize total to the top bowling team, which will be Team Randy, and all I want is $50 off of that, all right? But we will have celebrities like Brian Jordan and everybody there. So make sure y'all come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think our boss is going to give me my money that day, too.
I bet he won't.
He said he would.
We'll but no, I doubt
we'll
it.
We'll come back and get to what's trending, top of the 1 o'clock hour, back into some of what Dan Quinn had to say. Also, some Falcons news, as Dan Quinn has met with the media in the last hour as well. So we'll get to all that and more. Jason Longshore in studio at 120 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.